And John was feeling weak. But I couldn't see, and I like to see you. Church in the back. See, look at that. They wave. I love that. And this, I love it when Teen Challenge is here, because you can show, yes! And you know that if nobody else listens, they will. I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about the individuality of spirituality. God is a personal God. And when we attend a church like this, and I love this church, you know that, and I love my pastor who trusts me so much that he leaves town and lets me speak. But he has his wife on duty, and sometimes he checks the tapes too, you know. Anyway, I'm still honored. I love being in a group that really respond. I've been in so many churches in my lifetime. Of course, if you live this long, you've been in a lot of churches. But I had a valid reason to change. I was traveling and speaking. And sometimes I'd say something that I thought was so absolutely incredible. And I would expect, amen. And I'd get... And I used to do what Melody does, you know, try to pump it out. Poor Melody, she is such a worshiper, and she doesn't get it that you don't do it. And so she, you know, has to crank it up sometimes. And that's what I used to do. Isn't God good? Amen? Can you say amen? Amen? See, look how good. How about this side over here? Yeah, 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 yeah. And it pumps up the speaker. Yeah, it pumps us up. You know, all right, how come you speak different here and different there? Because the congregation pull it out of you or not? All right, leave that. That was free. We are going to give a little attention to Psalm 16 from the Message this time. In Psalm 16, it's a song of David. And he cries what I think some of us are crying today. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. Can you say amen to that? Yes. This is a crazy world. How many of you know we live in a crazy world? Does it make sense what's happening? Nothing makes sense. You make plans and it changes. You learn something in your vocation and overnight they have a meeting and they change the whole thing. You're still cutting hair the same way, but not much stays the same. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. You can't get used to anything. Then Pastor last week just shot a hole through me. He says, you know, you got to get on this little thing and you don't, you have to get the message on it ahead of time, and we're not going to be handing out thing that says old school. Well, I went to an old school. And David is crying out, you know, I get chased around, somebody wants to kill me when I'm being good and I don't understand, and God planned this whole thing. I didn't plan to be king. I like being alone. I like just being out in the field with my sheep and playing my piccolo or whatever, or my guitar that he made out of string. I don't know, before he made instruments, what he played. But he loved it, and he worshipped. Lord, worthy. He was all by himself. How many of you have those times? Oh, that's wonderful. It is so good to be alone with him, because he doesn't care how you look. Whether you're on or off key, whether you're in yesterday's book or tomorrow's prophetic, he doesn't care. He says, if it's to me, I'll take it. I love being alone, just Jesus and me. I don't get mad at anyone. I don't feel judged by anyone. I don't feel challenged by anyone. It's just Jesus and me. And when I say, I love you, Lord, he says, oh, you have no idea how much I love you in return. He loves to be loved. And that's where David was. And yet, there were times when he wasn't sure about life. And he had to say, keep me safe, oh God. I run for dear life to you. I say, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. Not my husband, not my wife, not my kids. You raise children exactly the same, and one of them goes left and the other one goes right. That doesn't make sense. They all got the same input. You were a better worker than the one next to you, and they got promoted. That doesn't make sense. And these God-chosen lives all around, what splendid friends they make. Don't just go shopping for a God. Gods are not for sale. I swear I'll never treat God names like brand names. What church do you go to? What's that material? How much is it? How often do you go? How good is your pastor? That's brand names. How many of you got delivered from that religious thing? Before I even knew what I was talking about, I used to say this often. I wish that churches didn't have names. I wish they were just named by the direction, the white church on Brown Street. Because then we wouldn't be judging, you know. I'm safe in this church because it has the right title. All right. My choice, David says, and so do I, is you, God. First and only. And now I find that I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and yard, and then you made me your heir. Oh, the wise counsel, God, that you give to me when I'm there and is confirmed by my sleeping heart day and night, I'll stick with God. Ooh, would he love to hear you say that? And never did you realize that there would be so many people around you saying, but that's not really true. He's not really the only God. There are other gods, you know. You can't be prejudiced. How many of you are prejudiced for God? He's the only God. There's none like him. He says that of himself in the Word. He says, I am God and there is none beside me. I love that. I do. I am Moses, I want you to go down and deliver my people. Well, God, I can't just go down and say to Pharaoh, set God's people free. I'm a fugitive from there, if you remember. I can't preach. I can't do those things. I'm not worthy. I'm not prepared. The people know my reputation. Who's going to help me? How am I going to say someone sent me? Who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am. Well, who's going to deliver him? I am. Well, who's going to help me say it in the right way? Who's going to give me an audience with the king? How? And God says, got you back, didn't I? And God says, I am. When I ask you to do something, I'm always there. I will never what? Nor? We know the words. But then when we get called on to perform, oh God, who's gonna, what if they, what if I lose my job over this thing? When I was a little girl growing up, 100 years, how old am I now? In my dad's church, it was during World War II, and they used to dangle us over hell to keep us saved all the time. And they used to, some of the teachers used to say, if the Nazis walked in here with their guns loaded and said, will you denounce your Christ or die? How many of you would be willing to die? And we'd all lie. And that's because you don't have martyr faith until you're faced with martyrdom. So don't try to get ready now. Don't try to get ready. I'm trying to get ready. I want to be strong. For what? Oh, Lord, strengthen me. What are you going to do with it? Heal me. Oh, Jesus, heal me. Why? You don't do anything but sit. Oh, Lord, I pray you'll just bring me joy. I need joy. I see other people, and Sister Ruth, she just dances around and flits around, and I've never seen anyone so gracefully at her age. Do you notice that when she clenches her fists, things start quaking? That's hell. Hell just shakes when Sister Ruth gets her little fists up there. I say, oh God, I'd like to have that kind of energy, and I'd like to have legs that work like that again. Like I used to, yeah. And Lord, my choice is you first and only, and you told me I was yours, and you've counseled me and guided me, and Lord, day and night I'll stick with you, and I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. Oh, yeah. I mean, not until things get rough. Uh-huh. I've seen them come and go here. Can you imagine anyone leaving this church? But it's things that matter. I can understand. You know, they didn't like the way the guy on the platform dressed. Did you see him flit his skirt at me today when he came out? And, you know, he's a cute little guy, but what is with this thing? And then that hat, he touches his hat like it's got magic in it. And I just can't take it anymore. I'm out of here. And then, oh, by the way, his name is Edward. And then... All of a sudden, he opens his mouth. And I hear a bit of heaven praising the God he serves. Oh, and I say, oh, I love that. And then skinny Winnie here comes in with her baby and her tight dress and I think, oh, dear God, not in church. And those are the people that can't take it, you know. I almost left over the smoke till they turned it down. I mean, this thing used to be a cloud. When you, the first 10 minutes you spoke, you were in heaven. And there are just lots of real good reasons to leave a church, if you're looking for them. But I love you. If I had your body, I'd be up here just like, anyway. You know it's gorgeous, kidding. No. But you'll get old someday. Everything that's straight up now, just... How did I get on that? I don't... You know what I like about her? Well, I'm jealous, of course. But what I like about this couple is they just are what they are. They just are. They're full of God. And the first time I saw them, and they were up in front. Their boy was a little older than the little girl, and she's a doll. And they would hold their little boy just like that and swing him. I think that kid's going to puke. And they would just... Didn't you ever think that, mothers? Yeah. They swing the kid with worship, and the kid would just go along with it. I don't know why I'm picking on you today. And I've really heard people say things, you know, about that baby. And then she got pregnant, and she came out here with her maternity clothes in the front of the church, in the front. I mean, you should sit in the back in the maternity room. She was out here, I kept saying to her, every time I spoke, I said, you don't have that baby right now, are you? Because she was ready. She was ripe and ready. And then someone said, no, I won't tell you the rest. But anyway. And then the baby came. And so did the kids, the mother and father. They came with that little tiny, tiny baby right down to the front again. And now I've been mean to them and teased, but I want to say publicly, I appreciate you. Because they're not just Sunday Christians. They live it, and all the time, it's every day of the week, and when it's time to come, oh yeah, I had a child this week, but we've got a blanket, throw it over. I wonder how many of us are that consistent. Like the brother said, you know, oh God, if you let me win the lottery, I'll tithe it. You didn't say that, but you said that. Lord, if you just give to me ahead of time, if I just knew that I had faith, if I had the boldness of that little old lady that preaches, if I had her boldness, I'd preach. If you'd preach, you'd have it. And I'm seeing some heads nod. How many people have you told about Jesus this week? How many people have looked at you and said, what is it about you? You're unusual. Yes, I am. I really do march to the beat of a different drum than you do. I really do. There's a opening in the heaven. I see it often. There's an opening in the heaven. And I just, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he, me, I am his. We'll sing it. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other, no one, has ever known. Yeah. And that's what David's saying. He said, I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed, fully packed. And you canceled my ticket to hell. That's no longer my destination. Now you've got my feet on the path of life. How long are you going to live? I don't know. I just had my 87th. I am ready to go. I am willing to go. I am anxious to go, but I can't go. Every time I go and offer myself, he says, not yet. You got things to do, and I just want you to live. Now, I used to travel. I traveled almost 50 years, from sometimes 3 churches a week. Yeah, it's a lot of while. And when the Lord said, that's enough, he put me here because you were bad. And then the prophecy started coming from local and far. Shirley will confirm this. The Lord's not through with you. You need to get back on the field. The Lord has some more to say. There are other people that need you. And the Lord would say, sit. And the voices would say, come here, come here, come here. I have this up in invitation, and this invitation, and this invitation. And they're not little joints. They're big joints. Big churches, and we'll treat you well. I know what that means. And it isn't so well here, you know. You do the best you can with what you have. But anyway, they've been good to me. And God would say to me, sit. Why? Why when I've got all this within? Why when I'm well known? Why when after I've gone through all the women shouldn't preach, I lived through all that stuff. Why when I broke through all that and they wanted me, then the Lord said, sit. Why? Oh, shut up. It's because you were bad. No. It's because I'm his to command where he leads me. And you can't prophesy me out of his will. You cannot prophesy me out of his will. I know whom I have believed. I know the call. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing the best I am supposed to be doing. And he's doing the best with me that he can possibly do. And that's it. And you don't have to vote. In fact, you don't get to vote. In fact, if you vote, I'll tell my pastor. And he'll get you. But because he's a man of God, and when he's told who to put in the pulpit, he knows who. You can't prophesy him out of it either. Now, my point is this. The individuality of spirituality has to come back to the church before the revival comes corporately. It's easy to worship in this church. Really, it is. Anybody that knows Jesus and knows the Lord at all, you can sense the presence. If you can't, you need to go to the mortuary and turn yourself in. Because come to think of it, I think they even refused my body donation. But there's a presence here. There's something so very special about this. And it doesn't matter who's leading worship. Little Pee-wee here leads worship sometimes, and he's good, and he comes out, and when BJ's here, you know, oh boy, BJ's home, and he's not a whole lot better than the rest. I mean, anyway, he's gone, I can say that. He'll get me back, but some things are worth it. I love him because he's a true worshiper. That's the key to leading worship. Is to be a true worshiper. So here, it's easy. Why is it easy? If they could have been with us a few years back, huh? It wasn't so easy to worship. We were plowing through what felt like a bit of hell. plowing through, praying before every service, praying for anointing, praying for a move of God, praying on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, praying in our homes, praying for God to send helpers and workers and make workers out of those that were here, praying, beseeching Him, saying, "You're the only God, and we want You, God. We long for You." And He believed us. And so He came. And they came from the north and the south and the east and the west. And if they were sick, they got healed. If they were spiritually blind, they got sight. If they were spiritually deaf, they could hear. Ears were unplugged. And things happened. And when they got there, where they had been praying for so long, they started judging. I don't like this. I do like that. They took all my hymns. I've earned his hymns. They took all the hymns away. I lived on those hymns. You didn't even know any walks with me. And those are what I grew up with. They were the sacred things. It was like King James. The only sacred Bible. And all of those pillars that we leaned on. I knew the page, page one. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let the angels prostrate fall. Bring forth that royal diadem. Let's crown Him Lord of all. I lived on that. And now I have to look at these things. And they're so fast, most of the time I just speak in tongues. But I know the Spirit, and the Spirit's the same. Hello? Even though things are changing, my friend, don't get stuck. I doubt anyone's much older than I in here. If I can change, you can change. And if you can't really inside, fake it. Move your mouth, do something, and say, "Lord, they don't know what I'm serving. You're the only God." They don't know what words I'm using. My mouth is moving. I'm worshiping. Or you can stand in anger. I don't even believe that song doctrinally. I don't believe they're on key. I don't understand why our main worship leader is gone, and then he's here, and then he's gone. Where does he go? Oh, he goes to Hawaii and lays on the beach. Not really. Pastor's speaking at one place, BJ's in another. We've got sprinkling all over the place. And who's left at home? It depends on you. You're either a member of the Pouters, P-O-U-T, Pout. I'm not giving an offering. I'm not putting my tithe in. I don't know what they do with it. Seems to me like they're gone an awful lot. I never get to go anywhere. I got you, I say. Or we can say, "Unto You, O Lord, do I lift up my heart. Unto You, O Lord, do I put my offering in." What they do with it is not my problem. I don't pay tithes to people. I pay it to the Lord. I don't give offerings because I like someone. I give offerings because the Word tells me tithes and offerings. I come every Sunday if I'm at all able, or I'm not speaking somewhere else. I come every Sunday because there's something about the stability of, if you look around and say, "Yeah, the old lady's here and and she's there, and he's there, and you're needed. You see, what he did was save you, wipe away all your sin, all your guilt, all your pain, so you could be a blessing. So you can look at someone on the pew and say, are you hurting? I just sense that you're hurting today. I want you to know what God did for me, he can do for you. If you just did that during a worship service, we'd have people being healed all over the place. But we're waiting for something big to crash the crowd. You know, it's going to come a big cloud, and it's going to just hover over, and then it's going to just float out, and everybody's going to fall down and laugh and kick and scream. No, he's looking. He's waiting for you, for me, to say, Lord, you're the only God, and I choose you, and I will choose no other. And I will go where you say go. I will walk the path you say to walk. I will not demand a map before I start walking. I will take what you have given me. Oh, can you imagine looking at 5,000 hungry men and having the Lord take a little piece of a loaf of bread and hand it to you and say, feed them. Me. But that's what he did. Here, Peter. Here, James. Here, John. Here, Bartholomew. Here, all each of you. Now, you 12, you take this piece and feed these people. Feed the men, that's 5,000. And then the women, that's 500,000. We're worth so much more, that's why. And there I stand with my morsel of bread, and I look around at the people, and they're hungry, just like you. You're hungry. And you're saying, you better feed us. We got up early to come here. And you better deliver. Now, which way am I going to look? At the hungry 5,000 or up? Lord, break your bread today. You break your bread and feed your people. Every level of maturity and comprehension, every place of willingness, plant your seed. Lord, water it, I pray, and let there be a multiplication for the glory of the one I serve. That's what he's looking for. So I finish. Now, David says to God, now you've got my feet on the path of life, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I walk to the beat of your drum. Are you ready? It's individuals he's looking at. How did you overcome this week? How did you? And then when the blessing comes, when the real thing comes along, we'll have 2,000 people worshiping instead of one leader who's anointed. Because you're a priest of God. You're a family of priests. You're not the high priest. That's only once a year. That the high priest goes in. We are common priests, if you will. Every one of us has a deposit of God within us. A piece of that bread that we took today, we broke that bread. Each one of you have something to offer. And church, if you sit there and compare yourself with someone else, say, well, I can't do it like she does, and I can't do it like he. God, if you could hear it, God would say, I didn't make you like her. I didn't ask you to do it like they do it. I ask you to deal with me. You get in touch with him today. You get in touch with him and walk with him, and you will know exactly the path of life that brings life and godliness and hope, not only to you, my darling, but to everyone you come in contact with.
Yeah, let's give Dr. Ivern a big thank you again. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to sit under one of the generals of the faith here in our very own house. And I would really encourage you guys to take this message to heart. She spoke a prophetic message to us this morning. And how do I know? If you turn to chapter 19 in Revelation, it says, "Hallelujah. For our Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." So the key is that we prepare our hearts as individuals. And like she said, revival starts in our heart. So if you guys will stand, Lord, I thank you so much for this prophetic message this morning. That it's your heart to send your son, and that you want to do a work in our individual hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to respond, that you would empower us to walk this out as we leave CFTN today and take to heart what Dr. Ivern has said, that worship is a lifestyle and not an event. Yeah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the prayer team. And you know, it says in the Bible that where two or more agree on any matter, it will be done by my Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. And so we want to agree with you. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you came in with today, if you want us just to agree for revival, for that spark to be lit in your heart today, come down and let us pray with you. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know the best king who ever walked this planet, the only one who can calm the storms in your mind, in your heart, come down and let us pray with you. Yeah, and you guys are released. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you tonight for Connect Groups.